And we've been going through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, just studying it in light of Mark's record of that life. And we want to continue. We'll bring to close today, if the Lord will help us, Mark chapter number 2. Been several weeks, a while, since we've been in this. And so let's get after it. Let's stand together. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 23. The Bible said, it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. His disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. The Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? He said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28 is where we'll lift our thought from. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I want to preach to you this morning, if the Lord will help us, from these verses, just on that simple title of the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow, understanding today, knowing, and Lord, sure the fact that in us, Lord, dwelleth no good thing. Lord, all this good about us we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we put no confidence in our flesh, but in the God of glory today, that you'll enable us to exercise the call of God you placed upon our life. Help us today to preach in demonstration of spirit and power, may the word of God have an effect, Lord, in every heart, in every life, captivate every thought. Lord, I pray these that have gathered here this morning would be stirred and challenged. Lord, I know the subject matter that is at hand. Lord, that it can be, Lord, a laborious study. But Lord, I pray this morning it not be that. I pray, Lord, as you've laid upon our heart how to deal with it, that, Lord, it would lead men and women and boys and girls to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for the rest, that only he can supply to our souls. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've read these verses this morning. We believe that they reveal the fourth of five back-to-back recorded encounters Christ has with a group known as the Pharisees. You remember that they were in the scene there. The man, the palsied man, let down through the roof in the house of Capernaum, and how that they criticized the Lord Jesus Christ for his extension of forgiveness of that man's sin. We find them again in the house of Levi as the Lord sits at the table of Levi amongst publicans and sinners, and they criticize him, asking the question, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And what a message that was. The Lord giveth as the Pharisees milk their little chins about the relationship of the Lord, not only the forgiveness of sin, but fellowship with sinners. We looked at and preached and studied their questioning. In verse number 18, why do the disciples of John, the Pharisees, fast, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus quickly led them from the scene of fasting, and that one man called it a sacrament. I don't care what you call it. They're interested in fasting, but Christ quickly carries them to a message that deals with the brand new life men and women and boys and girls need to seek and need to find in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now we come to the matter here, not only of sinners and salvation and forgiveness of sin and fasting and these matters, but we come here in this encounter dealing with one of the biggest issues the religious crowd has continuously with the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over, his activity on the Sabbath day. And we're going to find, in fact, the fifth back-to-back encounter Christ has with them will be in chapter number 3. There is Christ enters in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He heals this man with a withered hand. All of that was done on the Sabbath day, and this just blew the mind of the Pharisees that Christ would involve himself in activities outside of their realm and scope of understanding of religion. And they were always upset at the Lord Jesus in the matters of his activity of the Sabbath. Now the Sabbath, when we think about the Sabbath day, a Sabbath was intended to be a day of three main emphasis. So I want to throw this out to you, and especially the first one, it'll make sense to us in the end of the message. And I am going somewhere. It just won't seem like it till we get to the end. But if you'll stay with me, I think you'll be glad that you did. Number one, I think the first main emphasis, and we find this early in the Word of God, is that the Sabbath day was a day for rest. It was a day for rest. Amen. Cut me down, John, right here, if you would. A day for rest. Sabbath. The word Sabbath literally means intermission. It means to repose, to desist from exertion. In Genesis 2, if you want to look there, have your Bibles handy. We look at several verses. In Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And so we find the establishing an institution and on the seventh day of creation, God made it to be a day of rest. This would be further emphasized in the book of Exodus in chapter number 23. This matter of the Sabbath day being a day of rest. Exodus 23 and in verse number 12. Exodus 23 and in verse 12, the Bible said, "6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed." And so the seventh day of creation, after the Lord had in 6 days made all that there is, he instituted a day of rest that was not only initially observed by him, not as though God had got tired, but as an establishment of a Sabbath day, a seventh-day example for mankind, that man was to rest and be refreshed. What mercy and grace, amen, God could have, amen, demanded 7 days a week that we work and we labor, amen, and yet this generation, very few of them even fulfilled the command to work 6 days. Amen. They ought to really thank God he didn't give them a command to work on Sabbath. And so in the Sabbath, giving of the Sabbath, the institution of the Sabbath, we are to work by the sweat of our brow for 6 days. A seventh day is reserved for that of our rest and our refreshment, a day of intermission, a day to, amen, if you will, unwind, recharge our batteries and be ready to engage in the next 6 days in which we do our labor and our work all over again. A day for rest. Amen. And yet in a world of hustle and bustle 24/7, amen, they call New York City the city that never sleeps. It's continuously, amen, going on and on. The lights are always burning. Activity is always being had. And they pride themselves on no rest. Amen, for the weary. And that may seem, and you just bear with me, let me make a statement here. Amen, it may seem like, amen, a badge of honor in our day that we work hard, we give ourselves 7 days a week. Amen, but that is not spiritual and that is not scriptural. Amen, it is scriptural that there be a day of rest for God's creation.
And I believe that. And some have said, by the way, it's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And some say that God done away with that Sabbath day of rest when Jesus come on the scene. And though we don't practice it as according to the Judaism and the religious side of it, we'll see that in a moment. Amen. It is still the will of God that men work 6 days and have a day of rest. Amen. In their life, you'll burn out, and that's never the will of God. Amen. That we burn out. A day for rest. A day for rest. And I've had to learn that. I'm still trying to learn that. Amen. Unless I be a hypocrite for preaching this and leading you all. Amen. I myself, amen, don't always line up with that. Amen. But it doesn't mean it's not the will of God. Amen. Learn to have a day of rest. That's what God wants you to have. Amen. There's too many of us dying of heart attacks and burning out. Amen. And if we would just get back to what God gave in the Sabbath as a day of rest, I believe society would benefit, amen, from that greatly. Now, if you ain't in that crowd, ain't even working 6 days, shame on you. Amen. There's another verse said, if a man won't work, let him starve to death and die. Amen. It's God's will that men work. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Some want to rest 6 days and work one, and that, amen, that's a whole nother message. The Sabbath emphasis is a day of rest. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, we find that the Sabbath is to be a day for remembrance. A day for remembrance. In Deuteronomy 5, verse number 13 through 15, the Bible said again, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Now listen to verse 15 in connection with this, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And so it was a day, we find as we make our way through the scripture, a day for remembrance. While they were often told to remember what the Lord had done for them, that was to be, I believe, a daily activity. The Sabbath, a day for the Jew and for Israel, offered a day with few distractions, to simply ponder the goodness and the grace of God in their life. Amen. A day where they're not got all their irons in the fire and trying to juggle around all their responsibilities of life. A day to rest. And in that rest, to think about how good God had been. Ain't you glad God has established this in the Word of God? Amen. That there ought to be a day. Now, we in the New Testament church, amen, we have moved from a religious exercise on the Sabbath day and going to synagogue. And we have come into the house of God, the church of the living God, on the first day of the week. And what are we doing? We're doing this in remembrance of Him. Amen. Remembering that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived among us. Amen. Went to the cross, gave His life, shed His blood, was buried, raised again the third day, and one day came to us personally and saved our life. Amen. And so today is a day for remembrance. Amen. A Sabbath day, a day of intermission, a day to come apart, a day of repose, a day of desisting from our exertion. Amen. And so a day of rest, but a day for remembrance. It was a day not only of rest and remembrance, but a day for reverence, or that of worship. Look back with me in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus chapter number 23 and verse number 3. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and then there's an addendum that is made, and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And so the Sabbath here is called and described as a holy convocation, meaning literally a public meeting, and describes the assembly gathering to worship the Lord. And so the Lord said, 6 days you're going to work, there'll be one day set aside, and that day is the Sabbath. It's been made a day dedicated, sanctified to the Lord, not only for your rest and not only for your remembrance, but for you to reverence the Lord God, to worship Him, amen, as the Lord your God. And so these are the things that are entailed in the scriptural meaning of the Sabbath day. And again, we're in the New Testament. This is maybe for a whole nother message, amen, where the Sabbath, or the seventh Sabbath day, amen, the day of desisting from exertion, has moved from the last day of the week to now we're on the first day of the week. And the Word of God calls it the Lord's Day. And this is the day we reverence the Lord and worship the Lord. Amen. And yet it still, amen, is implied that it is a Sabbath. It is a holy day. Amen. For you and I, for our rest, for our remembrance, and for our reverence. How quickly now, from creation and the giving of Sabbath laws through Moses, what you'll find is rabbinical law began to add to what God had said. And they added a bunch of things. When all was said and done, you'll find through historical writings and studies and records that they had compiled in what is known as the Talmud at least 24 chapters, and were dedicated to and gave their meticulous and painstaking regulations for Sabbath day living. It had gone beyond being just a day of rest. It had gone beyond being a day for remembrance. It had gone beyond being a day of reverence and worship and adoration for the Lord in a personal and yet in a corporate way, and began to be a day that was so steeped in rigid religion that, my friend, it literally was heaping burdens and turmoil, not rest and peace, upon the people of God. I want to take a moment this morning and read you some things that have been discovered in the Talmud and where things were in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, prohibitions and commandments and laws. The prohibitions about tying a knot was much too general, and so it became necessary to state what kind of knots were prohibited and what kind were not. You know what they said? The Talmud said it was accordingly laid out that allowable knots were those that could be untied with one hand. And so you was breaking the Sabbath if you tied a knot, amen, that you could not untie with one hand. A Sabbath journey, you'll read about that statement in the Word of God, could be no longer than 3,000 feet from one's house or one's dwelling. However, if you were to go 3,000 feet and set up a temporary dwelling, pitching some sort of tent, amen, that was yours, you could travel to there, and then you could go another 3,000 miles, another Sabbath day journey from there. A Sabbath burden was the weight of one dried fig. If a person were to twice lift the weight of a half of a dried fig so as to transport it from one place to another, and thus combining the action into one, that would constitute a sin, and the Sabbath would have been desecrated. A person could not, listen to this, according to the Talmud and rabbinical law, added, this is not scripture, this is what men have added. A person could not throw up an object and catch it, for that would be work involving that hand in such labor? Here's what they argued about in the Talmud. And a man throw up an object and catch it in one hand? Some said they could. And then others said, well, he can throw it up in one hand, but if he catches it in the other, he has desecrated the Sabbath day. Is that not crazy? Amen. Amen. Don't let me bore you now. A person could carry rainwater caught from the sky, amen, but not drained off of their roof. Amen. If they caught it off the roof and transported it, amen, that was desecrating the Sabbath. If a person were in one place and his hand filled with fruit stretched into another, he would have to drop the fruit since he withdrew his full hand from one locality into another. He would be carrying in their mind a burden upon the Sabbath day. There arose many elaborate rules about packs and about labors. Certain regulations are laid down to guide the Jew when dressing on the Sabbath morning so as to prevent his or her breaking its rest. A man must be careful not to put on any dress which might become a burden. A woman must not wear such headgear as would require and loose him before taking a bath, nor go out with such ornaments as could be taken off in the street, such as frontlet, unless it is attached to the cap, nor with a gold crown, or with a necklace or a nose ring, nor with rings, nor of a pin in her dress. The reason for this prohibition of ornaments was that in their vanity, women might take them off to show them to their companions, and then, forgetful of the day, carry them, which would be a burden. And so they can wear certain things, but if they would be tempted to take it off and forget, put it back on and carry it in their hand or in their garment, that would be constituting carrying a burden, and that violated the Sabbath day. Women are also forbidden to look in a glass on the Sabbath because they might discover a white hair and attempt to pull it out, which would be a grievous sin. Men ought not to use a looking glass even on weekdays because this was undignified. A woman may walk about her own court, but not in the street with false hair. Similarly, a man was forbidden to wear wooden shoes studded with nails or only one shoe on the Sabbath, as this would involve labor. Nor was he to wear phylacteries or amulets unless indeed they had been made by competent persons. It was forbidden to scrape shoes except perhaps with the back of a knife, but they might be touched with oil or water, nor should they be touched with oil or water, nor should any sandal be softened with oil because that would improve them. They say in the Talmud a man could not move a chair by sliding it because doing so could furrow the ground and that would be considered plowing, which was a violation of the Sabbath day. Even to pluck grass on the Sabbath was a sin. It was sinful to do anything that would promote the ripening of fruit, such as watering or even removing a withered leaf. Thus, if a person cut a mushroom, they had sinned twice. Once in cutting and again in producing a mushroom in place of the oil. A radish may be dipped in salt but not left in it too long for that it might pickle it. A person cannot wear false teeth on the Sabbath as they fall out and that person be tempted to pick them up and carry them, which would be a burden. Amen. Mud on a person's clothing can be crushed by a person's hand and then shaken off, but it could not be rubbed out of the garment. I'm hastening on. A person was not allowed to cut their hair and fingernails on the Sabbath day. Listen to this. You cannot eat an egg which was laid on the Sabbath that was not specifically prepared for eating on the Sabbath. And so you couldn't take an egg and prepare it on the Sabbath day unless you did it the day before. But if the chicken were set aside on as Sabbath food, And before it was slain and it laid an egg, you could then eat the egg because it was simply part of the chicken that had fallen off. On the Sabbath, you could not climb a tree, ride, swim, clap your hands, strike your side, or dance according to the rabbinical law. All of these things were things that went beyond what God had established and God had spoken. God had, yes, told them it was a holy day, and God had laid down His own rules and regulations and principles that men were to live by. But somehow, as religion always does, it sought to add to what that God had said. And to the point that as we read these things, and I think the point is made that even as I read some of these, and there are even other things that are just so ridiculous. Amen. They bring a humor to us in this hour and this day at the attempts that they were making to somehow be right with God, to add to their own spirituality. And my friend, it had lost, that day had lost its sense of rest. It had lost its sense of remembering the goodness and the grace of God. It had lost the adoration for God that loved them and was inviting them into a day to simply, amen, adore Him for who He was and what He had accomplished in their life. It had become a day not of rest, but a day of wearisome burdens that men were trying to carry. The Pharisees, they were masters at my friends, somehow in their own eyes, in their own thinking, amen, to come up with these laws and these debates and these arguments, and that somehow by living this or attempting to live this or heaping this upon others, amen, they thought themselves to be, amen, closer to God, more right with God, and more elevated in the eyes of God. But you remember what Jesus said? Amen. After all of these hundreds of years of adding to what the Lord had said, and mainly concerning the Sabbath day, amen, Jesus in the end of His life, before they crucified Him, He loaded their wagon, amen, and He called them hypocrites, and snakes, and vipers, and He got on to them. And here's one of the things that the Lord was upset about. He said, "You heap burdens on men that ye yourselves cannot bear." In other words, the Lord is saying, all the rules and regulations that you have heaped up, amen, you know in yourself you have failed to live up to those. And you're expecting everyone else, amen, to honor these things. And that it is impossible that a man would ever remember every one of those laws and every one of those regulations. And you're not leading them to rest. You're leading them burdens that men cannot bear. May I say, there was nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His life, in His earthly ministry, and in the message that He preached, that was compatible with this kind of religion. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere. Amen. The Sabbath and what it had turned into by the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, was nothing more than dead, vain, painstaking religion. And Christ had come to bring a better way. And so the Pharisees are going to challenge Him about this matter of the Sabbath day. Amen. Did you catch what our text said that they had a problem with? The text said that the disciples and the Lord, they're just simply on a Sabbath day making a journey. And they're walking through these paths that lead through fields. And the disciples, being hungry, grab and pluck some corn and began, my friend, to eat it as they go along the way. Now, amen, I find this kind of humorous, Brother Tim, that the Pharisees are so ticked off and upset at the Lord, and He's just barely in Mark 2 got His ministry going real good, and it appears to me that they're hiding in the field just waiting to look at something. And you imagine a bunch of Pharisees with their phylacteries and their little boxes on their head. And, amen, they're in the field just staring, waiting for the Lord and His disciples to do something. And it's violated one of their rules in their 24 chapters of Sabbath day keeping. All of a sudden they see the disciples eating the corn, and they think that they have trapped the Lord and His disciples. And the question is asked, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now everybody look here. What they were doing was not unlawful by the law of God. It was unlawful by their own man-made rabbinical law-keeping that they had come up with. And there's nothing about what they'd done that God had condemned in the Word of God. God had given the principles. God had told them of things they could do and not do. Amen. But this was not a direct violation of anything in the law of God. Amen. The Pharisees in this text, they're simply troubled about the simple plucking and eating corn as they traveled on the Sabbath day. I won't take the time to look at it. I was going to, but write this reference down. According to Deuteronomy 23, verse 24 and 25, there was no violation of the law in what they were doing. Amen. God had given in the law that He gave, He had told Israel, as you're journeying, amen, and you're passing through your neighbor's field and you come through their vineyard, if you're hungry, you are free, amen, to pluck grapes along the way. God said the only rule I'm putting on it, amen, you can eat as you walk, amen, you just can't get your sack out and fill your sack up and take it home, that's stealing. He said when you're walking through the fields of corn and you pluck and you get hungry, He said you can pluck, amen, you can pluck some of them ears of corn and you can eat it to satisfy your hunger. But the Lord said the rule I'm going to lay down is, amen, you can't break a sickle out, amen, and go through His field and start chopping down His corn, amen, and load it up in your sack, take it home for yourself. That's called stealing. God had made provision, and the provision there was of grace and the mercy of God. And God had blessed the land, and therefore those that are traveling, they can have, amen, met their needs, met their hunger, met, amen, they can find sustenance in the land as they travel. They've not broken any law of God. They've broken the law of the Talmud. The Talmud said that this act of what the disciples have done, are y'all ready for this? The simple plucking of ears of corn and breaking them and eating them because they're hungry, the Talmud would have condemned them for 5 sins of desecrating the Sabbath day. Number one, they said by plucking the ears, amen, that was reaping. That my friend not only reaping, sifting, threshing, winnowing, and then by putting it in their mouth, they had prepared the corn. And 5 of these things the Talmud had condemned, and these men were not allowed to do. And I want to say, and you imagine living under that kind of a religion, and you imagine living under a religion, and my friend has left long ago the idea of honoring God. The idea, my friend, of the inside and the heart of man, amen, being right with God, amen, they had reduced their religion and the law of God down to a bunch of externals and a bunch of outward things that men could heap upon them and praise. Oh, may I say, this morning I'm glad that, amen, I am not in religion today and man-made religion. Amen, it always seeks to elevate the man and downplay God. Amen. But Christ came to elevate God and downplay man. He didn't come to reform the outside. He came to bring a new life on the inside. That doesn't mean the outside is unimportant. It means that Christ is first and foremost interested in the heart of man. Amen. You can come up with all your rules and regulations. Amen. All your ideas of how things ought to be and how man may strive to get right and be right with God. Amen. But can I tell you today, amen, Jesus Christ is the only way. As we think about this morning, I've got a lot. I feel like maybe I'm bogging down. I don't want to bore you this morning. But let me give you this. Amen. Let me give you this. The Bible said, and the Pharisees said, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? So there's some scrutiny going on. There's some criticism being thrown around. There's some statements being made about the disciples, these followers of the Lord Jesus, that are not very favorable. You know what I like? Verse 25 said, and he said unto them. The disciples did not have to answer their critics. Amen. Amen. The adversary asked the question, amen, about what appeared to be some failure in their life. Thank God the disciples did not have to give an answer to the adversary. They had an advocate that stood between them, amen, and their adversary. And I remind you today, we have an adversary, amen, in the devil, and he is called in the Word of God an accuser of the brethren. He's all the time trying to downplay our walk with God. He's all the time trying to show that we ain't living up to some great form of religion. But I'm glad today, thank God, I've got an advocate. I've got one that stands between me and the adversary that answers on my behalf. Amen. Some of y'all, the devil's beating your brains out. Amen. Trying to get you think you ain't that good of a Christian. Amen. That you ain't living up to the mark. Amen. I believe we ought to strive now. Amen. I believe we ought to do all we can according to the Word of God, of being well pleasing to our God. I ought to live a life and seek to live a life. Everybody, my friend, our name and our life, amen, is a testimony of life to an ungodly world. I've got news for us today. On their best day, the accuser still finds something in you. Amen. On your best day, on the most holy day you'll ever live, there is an adversary, amen, that's following you around. Amen. That my friend loves to bring accusation against us. So I tell you what I've had to learn in my Christian life. Amen. When the adversary goes to speak it, amen, you just agree with your adversary and let my friend the advocate do the talking. Amen. Oh, I'm glad today we've got an advocate. Amen. Amen. We have. Amen. I guess what I'm trying to say, amen, is that when the adversary tries to bring unrest, you just rest in the advocacy of your Savior. Amen. Amen. Boy, there's a lot. There's a lot. And I've struggled getting this together in a way that I normally try to preach. So just bear with me. Amen. You have an advocate. We learned that in this text that, amen, we don't need religion. Amen. We don't need more religion. We don't need more rules and regulations. I know where I'm preaching, I know what I'm preaching. The most important thing is relationship. Now we gotta have some rules. Rules are for carnal people. We gotta have some parameters. Amen. If we didn't, everybody would be walking around naked in society, and they're about there anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's a whole other side of the coin. And I'm not preaching today, amen, that we need religion and that we need rules and regulations to bring us into a place with God. Oh no. Amen. What we need is relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, man. Amen. And you'll find when you study this account that in Mark 2, in this particular record, and Mark gives us one scriptural defense, and Christ used, if you'll read Matthew's account, amen, it lists three. It mentions this one and then two others, amen, that are scriptural defenses as to why, amen, his disciples have not broken the Sabbath day in light of what the Word of God has to teach. He first of all gives, amen, the defense of the provision for the hungry. He reminds them, you gotta love the Lord. The Lord looks at these boys. They got their long garments on, buddy. They look real polished on the outside. Jesse, the Lord looks at them and said, ain't you read your Bible today? Have you never read? Ain't you familiar with the Word of God? You bunch of super duper, super spiritual. You wanna come at my disciples as though they have broken the law of God? Have you never read what God said in His Word? It reminds him of the story of David and his men when they got hungry. But Gerald, how that David went into the house of God and the Abiathar, the high priest, took the 12 loaves off the table of showbread and gave them to David, and David's hunger was satisfied. And it wasn't just David today. Amen. It was the men that were with him. And the Lord said, didn't you read about that? David ate something that wasn't lawful for David to eat. When God said about David when he died, said David did all that which was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. He did something that was unlawful, and yet God gave him mercy and grace and never even condemned him for doing it. Amen. Why? Because the needs of men are more important than rules and regulations. Say amen. Man comes up with so many stupid ideas. They'll die with their list of rules and regulations, and God, Christ is saying, the needs of a man's being hungry, the basic needs of a man's life. David was hungry. David was going to die. And he was given something to eat that he should have never been given to eat. And God did not condemn him for it. Amen. See, part of the Jews, when it came to their Sabbath day keeping, it became a problem for them nationally. Brother Mike, the enemies knew that if they would attack anywhere in Israel on the Sabbath day, Israel wouldn't even try to defend themselves. They'd let their babies be carried into bondage because it was a Sabbath day rather than guard and protect their own homes and families. Are y'all listening? Jesus is saying, you've gone too far. You've took it too far. You've gone beyond what God has said. And He uses the scriptural defense in the example of David and the table of showbread, amen, concerning the provisions for the hungry. In Matthew chapter number 12, verses 5 and 6, there's the defense of the performance in the temple. And the Lord looks at these Pharisees and He says, hey, do not your priests profane the Sabbath in the temple, and yet they are guiltless? In other words, the priests, they're laboring, serving, they're stabbing lambs and offering sacrifice and starting fires and chopping wood, and they're laboring there in the temple. They're working, they're laboring. And yet you're going to get mad at my disciples because they got hungry and plucked some corn and ate it to sustain them as they follow me. And in verse number 6 of Matthew 12, amen, after that, Brother Tim, he looked at them Pharisees and he said, there is a greater than the temple that is among you. In other words, oh boy, amen, the Lord is saying, amen, you need to get over your religion. Amen, nothing wrong with having rules and regulations. Amen, but quit trying to heap that on everybody else. Amen, who don't even have a relationship with the Lord themselves. As we think about this morning, the provision for the hungry, we see the performance in the temple. And then there is, where in verse number 7 of Matthew 12, the priorities of the Scripture. And the Lord gives a quotation from Hosea 6. And in verse number 6, when the Lord said, I tell you what I want mercy and not sacrifice. Why did the Lord say that? I believe this morning that Christ was reminding them, you have gotten too religious. You've missed the fact that the most important thing in a man's life is that he has known the mercy of God, not religious activity. Amen. I told y'all this was different now. And somebody going to hear this message and go, well, Pastor Jeff, he's changing, he's compromising. Amen. You come back tonight and you'll see, amen, you'll see we ain't compromised a bit. Amen. It's two sides to a coin. And the Lord here is fed up with just external religion. He reminds him, Mark 2:27, I'm nearly done now. Mark 2:27 here, amen, Christ reminds the Pharisees of the original intent of the Sabbath as it was made for man by God, for man's benefit and man's enjoyment. The Sabbath was supposed to be for our benefit. It was supposed to be a day when you lay down your burdens. They had made it in itself a burden. Christ was returning it to its blessing. Say, preacher, we're not Sabbath day. And by the way, we are not Sabbath day keepers. Amen. We're not Seventh day Adventists. Ellen White, one of the Seventh-day Adventists, one of the first, not the founder, but she was one of the original ones, said she had a vision and a dream that God came to her and showed her the Ark of the Covenant, took the lid off, let her look in, and she seen the tables of the law in there, and that the fourth commandment was glowing and had a ring around it. Amen, as though it was the law above all the other laws. Ain't that stupid? That's one word. That's one word you can use for it. Amen. Heresy. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. But I tell you what the Lord's teaching. He's teaching you better be careful becoming so religious that you bypass a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's reminding them it's to be a day to lay your burden down. Not heap religious burdens upon people. He's returning it to a blessing. Amen. Oh, in the closing verse is Christ's declaration about what the Sabbath was really ultimately about. The rest we find in Him. They are accusing Him of being the Sabbath breaker. He reminds them He is the Sabbath maker. Oh, yeah, He broke all their rules. But buddy, He took them back and said, this day was not made, Amen. This day, this man was not made for the Sabbath. Amen. Let me get it right. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, man was created on the day six, and then the Sabbath day was made for man's rest, and man's day to lay his burden down, a day to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. And now religion and the Pharisees, they had gone too far. Now the Lord said in declaring Himself a Son of Man, I, the Son of Man, me, the one that has come from above, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You do remember what I told you Sabbath means? It means repose. Literally rest. It means, my friend, a day, a time. It is a word that it is declaring the laying down of our burdens, the expiring of our labor. Amen. Can I remind you what Jesus said? Amen. Let me read it to you. I've got so much to give, and I feel like I'm making a mess out of this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is where rest is truly found. Amen. And when He speaks this in Matthew 11:28, He is speaking to a generation that has been laden down with all kinds of religion. You can never keep all of that. Amen. You can't even keep the law of God, much less all the ridiculous ideas that man adds to it. Jesus said, if you are laboring, if you are heavy laden, He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Amen. Unto your souls. What is Jesus teaching? He said, I didn't come to attach myself to your religion. I came to bring men into a relationship and to invite them to come to me. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the one where ultimate rest for the soul really truly lays. I'm where men lay their burdens down. I'm where the heavy, my friend, find a lighten load. I'm the one in which men come to and find an ease and a lightness for their burden. I am the one that gives rest unto the soul. Boy, I remember trying to live for God growing up in a preacher's home. Hey man, I'm feeling like preaching now. Hey man, I remember growing up. Hey man, and I'm not mocking the rules. I needed rules because, hey, my daddy not had some rules. I ain't no telling what trouble I'd have got in. I needed rules, and I'm thankful for them now. Buddy, them rules were a burden about my neck. Amen. I couldn't understand them. I didn't know what they were. Amen. And I'm not saying it's Phariseeism or legalism. Amen. I'm telling you, I needed that or I'd have wound up in a mess. Somehow in all of that was a burden. Religion was a burden to me. Growing up the way I grew up was a burden to me. Everybody listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. At the age of 17, I met the Lord of the Sabbath. And everything that was a burden to me, I laid it down at His feet. I found rest to my soul. Amen. A young man who was heavy laden, a young man, amen, whose axles was wobbling, amen, busting on the springs, amen, a young man that was weary, amen, religious activity, and burdened down even with sin, I found rest. I met the Lord of the Sabbath. I met the one. I entered a relationship. And yes, now there's some rules that, amen, I live by. There's some regulations. There's some Bible principles, amen, that I've plugged into my life. And I'm amen, fine with that. But, amen, beyond the rules and the regulations, there's a relationship. That's why Jesus said, amen, Jesus said, Amen, that to those who love the Lord, His commandments are not grievous. Why? Because they have entered into relationship. They have met the Lord of the Sabbath. They have more than religion. They're walking in Him. I wonder if you've ever come to the Lord before. I wonder if you've met the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, Lord, I'm finally feeling like I'm making a connection here. Amen. I told y'all it would take a little while. I hope you, amen, have come to the end of the journey. Hebrews 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Have you ever believed? Have you ever turned? Have you ever laid your load down? Have you ever forsaken your heavy ladenness? Amen. He said, we that have believed on Him, we have entered into rest. As He said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place in the seventh day. On this wise, in God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, sing therefore it remaineth, and some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. You know what to keep you out of rest. You know what to keep you from being introduced and knowing and entering a relationship with the Lord of the Sabbath? Unbelief. It is unbelief that keeps you away. It is unbelief that says I'm fine. It's unbelief that says the burden's not all that heavy. It's unbelief that says me and God have an understanding. But it's belief that says I know what I am. I know what's on me. I know where I'm headed. I don't need religion. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't listen. You don't need a bigger Bible under your arm. Amen. You don't have friend need. Amen. To put more money in the offering plate. Amen. You don't need, my friend, all these religious externals. What you need is belief that'll bring you in the rest. It's only available in Christ. For if Jesus, verse 8, Hebrews 4, verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Listen to verse 10, and I'm done. For he that has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did His. You know what Jesus was saying in comparing Matthew 11 and Hebrews 4 all together? Here's what He's saying. This whole Sabbath day business really was a picture of what men find in me.
Amen. What a place.
Yes, sir. Amen. I've ceased from my own work. I ain't trying to work my way to glory. I ain't trying to religion my way in the presence of God. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? How do you know heaven's going to be your home when you leave this world? How do you know, preacher, how do you know? Oh, I believed on Him. I have ceased from my own labor. I ain't trying to work my way there. I ain't notching my belt all the way there. Thank God I have met the One who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. I don't need more man-made rules. Just resting in the Lord. You say, preacher, the adversary, I'm just resting in the Lord of the Sabbath. Preacher, you've got needs. I'm just resting in the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. Everything about my spiritual life is wrapped up in just simply resting in Him. And if you're resting in Him, and you know Him as Lord, and you're resting in that knowledge that He has given you and the relationship He has brought you into, His commandments are not grievous. You gladly follow Him where He leads, what He asks you to do. No complaints. You just rest in His Lordship in your life. You know what the difference in this text is? It's the difference in religion and relationship. It's the difference in legalism. That's a term a bunch of people throw around in these days, have no idea what it means, but they were in the strictest sense legalism, Pharisees. It's the difference in legalism and love. Amen. I don't offer people religion or legalism. We offer them relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I can't stand all your rules. Well, my rules ain't my rules. They're God's rules. Amen. And God had some rules about the Sabbath, and He was serious about it. They found a boy one day, Brother Tim, picking up sticks. Their numbers... And they brought him to Moses. They said, we found this man, he out here picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. You said we couldn't do that. What are we going to do with him? Moses said, stone him. That wasn't Talmud. That wasn't man-made stuff. That's what God said. So don't think, oh man, I can live any old way I want. Rules and standards and all of that, amen, that's not legalism. Legalism is when you try to bypass a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of rules, religion. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Do you know Him? Lord, have mercy. Amen. I hope that's made sense, Brother Mike. I know it took us a long way to get the point. The point of the message is this. Christ wants you to enter into a relationship with Him.
Amen.
And when you do, you'll find a place to lay down your burdens. And there's that's right. Mike said a sigh of relief. You know what I got when I got saved? Everybody look this way. I'm done. Everybody know what I got when I got saved? Watch me now. Here's what I got when I got saved.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Y'all didn't see that. Y'all didn't shout. You know what I got when I got saved? That's what you got, didn't it? You know how I know that? I've heard you talk about it and that big grin on your face. That grin goes, yeah, I know what he's talking about. You know what I got?
Amen.
How many of y'all, I'm done preaching. I'm going to just unhook us and we're gone in a minute. Now I'm just talking. I'm not preaching. I'm just talking. How many of y'all right now you say, I'm saved, I remember when I got saved. Just uplift you. I'm saved, I remember when I got saved. How many of y'all remember, you can put your hand up, how many of y'all remember when you got saved? It was like you went down, you called on the Lord, and you had this big weight of guilt and sin on you. Burden. Somehow, while you was calling on the Lord to save you, that load got lifted. How many of y'all remember feeling a little bit lighter? I'm not talking about, amen, on the outside. Amen. We're still on the outside as fat and ugly or whatever we were, amen, when we got up as we were when we went down. But on the inside.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
That wasn't religion done that for me. That wasn't religion done that. That was the Lord of the Sabbath.